up, champs? Welcome to another episode of the Short Shifts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Keeping Carlson. I'm your host, Jeremy Brasillo, and joining me tonight, my pal and yours, Shams Benamor. Shams, how are you doing on this final week of the fantasy regular season?
I'm doing okay, but I'm not doing as well as Brandon Montour. I read a stat yesterday. I am not joking. He's averaging 4 points a game in his two games against Montreal this year. He's really, well, let's just say Montreal is happy that they only played them twice, but he has 4 points last night, and he had 4 points the prior game before, so 8 points in total, just in two games against Montreal.
I do remember that other game, just the four-point Montreal game. He also scored the fastest overtime goal in NHL history last night on a play that probably would have been called a false start in the NFL. I'm even willing to admit that he jumped that face-off pretty quickly. But, you know, big night for him, big night for the Kraken. Can't really complain. Well, let's get on to the actual news. First up, we have a handful of injuries. Andrei Svechnikov is doubtful for tomorrow. Do you know how serious that is?
We didn't really get much information from the coach, but basically, he did say he doesn't anticipate it being long-term, so shouldn't be hopefully anything too long, but we don't have much data. The interesting thing that comes out of this is that Jarvis is now out of the Martin Hook stall realm of the third line and actually gets to play at the top line with Aho and then paired with Blake. And then that leaves Kotkaniemi with Hall and Roslovic. And the top line was, or power play was Aho, Blake, Hall, Jarvis, and Gostisbehere. I'm not sure if Stankoven was practicing that day, but honestly, if he did, there's maybe an easy way to bump himself into that second line, or at the very least, I could see him replacing Hall or Blake, in my opinion, if he missed that one practice.
For sure. I'm very interested to see what the Carolina lines look like with Svechnikov healthy and Stankoven in the lineup. I don't think we've had a game like that yet, and Stankoven seems to be getting some nice deployment. I'm generally untrustworthy of Carolina lines sticking around for more than two periods, but you never know. Other injuries that sound relatively minor, JJ Paterka has a lower body injury and did not play on Wednesday. Sounds like it wasn't too serious since they were talking about game by game. Neil Pionk and Nikolai Ehlers may miss Friday's game. They've both missed two practices in a row. We don't know what either of those injuries or illnesses are, though, correct?
I don't believe so. And the interesting thing to come out of that is if we see Ehlers not playing, it was Perfetti that would get the top line. But I think everyone who has picked up Perfetti at any point in time, unless you got him in that one bingo day, I'm just staying away from Perfetti, even if he gets, you know, a game or two on the top power play.
Perfetti certainly is a frustrating player to own. Just, you know, if he doesn't score, he's not doing much. And even if he gets you an assist, that may be below his season average or below what you'd expect from a streamer. So, you know, that's kind of tough to look for. Bigger news, though, Dougie Hamilton is done for the season. That now makes three players sitting at the top of my waiver wire that are really good players done for the season in Jack Hughes, Matthew Tkachuk, and Dougie Hamilton. Unfortunate here, but Luke Hughes has been doing a ton with the improved deployment. I think he has points in a couple of his games recently, and Simo Nemec ended up back in the lineup today and on power play too. Are you rushing out to grab Luke Hughes here?
I would say is that if you're looking for the power play, possibly yes, but personally, I think it's one of those things where I think people like are a fan of him because he's been out for a while that Hughes has been grabbed. So I think this is much more of just kind of a idea of if you're playing for the playoffs in a redraft league and you have some injury concerns, you could just now freely let go of Hamilton and then just have that idea that maybe your forwards are not going to get that bump later into the playoffs when he won't be returning anymore.
That's true. It does help to free up your IR when you have guys that might or might not be done for the season. Luke Hughes, though, if he's available, I would be grabbing him instantly. He He has 9 points in his last 9 games, dating back to even before he got Power Play One. Since he got onto Power Play One, it looks like he has 5 points in 5 games. He's been remarkably consistent lately and is going to be expected to play big minutes with Hamilton out. He's got a 27.56, a 25.49, a couple 22 and 23 minute games recently. So I'd be treating him as a top defenseman on a good offensive team for the rest of the season. Other defensemen, Roman Josi is in that danger zone of he may be out for the rest of the season, but we don't know, so you probably can't drop him. To quote the coach, it's probably TBD. Once we get some more information, we've done a lot of tests with Roman. We're going to take care of Roman Josi. As we get closer to the end, we'll see where we're at, and that's it. Like that was what he said, which sounds like a lot of words to say we don't know yet. Nick Blankenberg was on Power Play One last game. He does have 2 power play assists, but hasn't been doing much. I know Brady Shea has been getting more ice time. Do you have any interest in those guys, keeping in mind that they have a 4-game week to start off your playoff matchup?
Unless you're really desperate for potential power play points, I'm not really looking at Blankenberg. A funny stat I noticed is that when I was researching him for today, he has 7 points so far in this year, 2025, and 5 of them came against different games against the Sharks and Blackhawks. So he has only scored 2 points against non-bottom lower teams. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. But the interesting thing I would have to say is that I feel like this is me more talking, not looking at what a beat reporter said, is that the Predators are nowhere close to the playoffs. I do not see any reason for him to like them to rush any injured players. So I would be of the expectation that if you're going to pick up a Blankenberg or another defensive player for banger stats on the team, that I would be expecting them to keep the minutes that they're gaining out of this injury.
They also have lost Jeremy Lauzon for the season a while back, and Luke Shen got traded. So there is not a lot of depth on that blue line. I agree, these are real desperation plays in my book. I think this is a team that's been shut out, 8 or 9 times this year. They aren't getting a lot of points. They aren't particularly banger-oriented guys anyway. Nashville's kind of a mess right now. I would be avoiding this. Last but not least, for the injuries, we have an update on Roope Hintz. Sounds like he's skating today and tomorrow, maybe available Sunday, which is good because he's got a pretty good playoff schedule for fantasy. So it sounds like he'll be back in for you, back in possibly playing with Mikko Rantanen and that new and improved Dallas Stars lineup. Not much else actionable here. Is anybody primed to lose deployment off of this in your book?
They had some interesting lines. We'll see. They practiced, I think, a day or two ago, and they had, it was like Duchesne, Robertson, and Granlund were on a line. So, like, I feel like they're kind of in their, hey, we got a lot of good players. Let's see how this works out era of, after trading for Granlund and Rantanen. So it'll be interesting to see how they play on their next game, within mind that Hintz could be back and just blow it all up. So I would be hesitant to think of any players that you have that are already rosterable, like the top 9, I would be fine with. And then I wouldn't be putting too much stock in their next game, or even to say if Hintz comes back on Sunday, I would not sure. Probably we could be seeing different lines for like almost every game until maybe they find something that gels.
There definitely will be some experimentation. Speaking of Granlund, I think he's kind of snoozer territory. He's had a handful of assists with Dallas, but was never a player that did much if he wasn't scoring a ton of points. His shots per game are down. His ice time is down since leaving San Jose. I've been cutting him loose in a handful of leagues. He was really benefiting from being the veteran presence on a San Jose team that, you know, could kind of cut loose and try to score goals because they were going to give up a ton. Just a little note there. With that, let's head to our ad break and we'll be right back.
This NHL season has been as predictable as a puck rolling on its edge. No one knows where it's going, but that just means there's time for your favorite team to figure things out and games left for you to get in on the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. It's super easy for first-timers to get started. Try betting on something simple like picking a team to win. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. And if you're new to DraftKings, listen up! New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777. Or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/ice.
Welcome back, everyone. In lieu of hot cold today, we're going to talk about some playoff week one considerations of players you might want to add. This is kind of the hot part of the hot cold. We'll be mentioning some players you might want to add because they're hot. I will say this is not matchup maximizer, so we did not go in depth on off days or opponents here. Just more, I at least was looking at guys who were in good deployment and getting you four games next week, and it's up to you to determine whether or not you have room on Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday and Sunday. But first up, you had a goalie to start us off. Who do you have first?
I could start off with the fool me once joke, but I don't know how many times we've been potentially fooled by this player. So fingers crossed, Tristan Jarry looks like a rosterable player again. And interestingly enough is that I think the best part is that unless you're a Preds fan, is that neither of the other two goalies had any sight of hope when Jarry was in the AHL like playing with them. So right now he had two games with back on the NHL team, posting up two quality starts and having wins. And the nice thing is that he saw on against Minnesota 29 saves and then 35 saves against Vegas, both wins. And then right now the game's not done yet. There's about 8 minutes left. He has 31 saves. So even though we all know that Pittsburgh is not a great defensive team, the good thing is that they're going to see so many shots that even if a couple of goals come in, you're going to still come out well. And then the nice thing is that they're even squeaking some out of these like wins that maybe might not be sustainable, but it's just an extra couple points as a cherry on top. So the way I look at this is that I know at any point, Jarry could just let in the first goal or the first shot of a game, blow you up. But the nice thing is that with all the talk from coaches, players, even beat writers, everyone's just bringing us up as a feel-good story. And without really any other competition, he's going to give you games. And then the nice thing is that when that, and I say when, that blow-up game comes, you probably got two good games out of it in that week to come out because you're getting a volume goalie here.
Volume goalie is the name of the game here. Jarry plays Friday and Sunday next week also, which is kind of nice, I think. We weren't going to go too deep into schedule, but that's always a nice schedule to see for your goalies. We'll see how many games Nedeljkovic gets in here. I'm wondering, since this is Jerry's third game in a row, my hope would be that Ned gets Saturday this week, and then Jarry gets all three next week, unless he completely blows up, at which point you're probably dropping him anyway. On the line of goalies, also, I'm looking at Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who is 94% owned in Kakupful, so not widely available. Sam Ersson, who's 45% owned. They're both lined up for three starts as their teams play four times next week. Those are high probabilities of blowups, but I want my volume, especially since I generally run zero or one goalie. Other goalies to consider, the Leafs guys, who are 92 and 88% owned, should get two starts each, and the last game they play is on Saturday. And Frederik Andersen, who is 67% owned, should get Thursday, Sunday next week for the Hurricanes. And I guess I also threw Jordan Binnington in there, who is 100% owned in Kakupful, but could be available in other leagues. He also is going to get 3 starts next week, most likely, because the Blues play 4 games. Now to talk about happier things, i.e. not goalies. Who's your next guy that you had on this list?
So a little bit of a precipice here is it looks like the Blue Jackets are getting blundered in a situation against Golden Knights losing 4-0. So keep an eye out for the lines that they might change with the next practice. They are kind of going different in-game. But prior to this is that Matthew Oliver has been playing with Kent Johnson and Boone Jenner. And the nice thing is that he is shooting above expected. He has like 4 goals and 1 assist in the last 5 games before today. I'm not expecting him to get all those goals, but the nice thing is that he's getting almost 3 shots and 3 hits a game right now. Even though they're getting shut out, he has 3 shots, 6 hits and a block, which is 3.5 Kakupful points. So it's almost 4 points just on that own without any points. So the idea here is that this is just kind of a guy where, you know, everyone's talking about, oh, should I pick up like Blankenberg to get, you know, potential power play one time, and those kind of players. It's that this is kind of a study guy. And the nice thing is that they do have 2 off nights next week and the week after, I believe. And then they have 4 game weeks, the 2 weeks after. So while he's going to be not maybe your flashiest player, he's going to be a dependable person that might give you a really great night if he gets a point. But even if he doesn't get a point, he's going to be in that position to get those shots and hits to give you something on your score sheet.
That's definitely someone who could help you out. You mentioned off nights next week. He plays Monday, Thursday, Friday, which not only gets you off nights, but also gives you the option to drop him for Saturday, Sunday if you really need those points. My second guy, or not my second because I named like 6 goalies in the last one, but my next point of discussion is Matt Coronato on Calgary. He has been cold lately. I don't think he has a point in his last 4 or 5 games, but he's still seeing line 1 and power play 1 time with Kadri and Huberdeau. It's been this way for quite a while now. He's known as kind of a shooter triggerman type. He could pop off for 3 goals in 4 games. They play Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, so you can front those 4 games. He's only 33% owned in Kakupful. Not often you can add a line 1 power play 1 guy off the waiver wire. He'd be one of my top streamers for next week if I were doing Matchup Maximizer. Who do you have next?
This person I have coming up is probably more for your Yahoo leagues because he's 80% rostered in Kakupful, but Samuskevich is someone that was brought up in the last Matchup Maximizer, which is probably helps why he's at 80%. But the nice thing here is he's kind of in that same mold as Oliver, as I was talking before, but he actually has even more. He has 3.2 shots per game and 3.4 hits a game. And as an added bonus is that he's actually playing on power play 1. You know, there has been some injuries, so it's not as powerful as before, but you still have Bennett, you still have Barkov, you still have Reinhart, so it's still, you know, even with the injuries, I still am fine with that power play over most probably in the league. So the idea here is that I was picking him up just to say, hey, I'm going to get my hits and blocks, but today he actually, before the game's even finished, he has 2 power play assists, so he's probably, I believe, my highest scoring forward right now. And on top of that is that he does have a Saturday-Sunday schedule today or for this week. So depending on where you are in your different leagues, if you need even just the hits and the shots, just kind of helping your categories league, you could still get benefit from him this week. Just keep in mind that while he does play 3 games next week, it doesn't start the Thursday. So maybe if you're in a shower league and you don't need him this week, you can play a game of chicken and then see how late you can wait to pick him up next week. But depending on how deep your league is, there's going to be a good chance that if he's not picked up, someone's going to be trying to win this week and getting a power play 1 time out of him.
There's a good chance, though, if he gets picked up for someone this week, that he'll get dropped back on Monday, not playing until Thursday. I see him very similar to Coronado, actually, a young guy who is a shoot-first guy playing in the top six and on power play one. I think that's a great add, especially looking at the course of the playoffs as opposed to just the first week. Obviously, it's three games versus Coronado's four. But yeah, I really like what Samuskevich has done since Tkachuk got injured, so that's a great add. And last but not least, I have another broad sweeping category for you of the Boston Bruins. I just like their schedule next week. I think they've got a good chance to score a decent amount of goals. They have a bit of an emptiness in their roster with Brad Marchand gone and Charlie McAvoy hurt. So I'd be looking at Morgan Geekie and Mason Lowry, both 94% owned, so not a good chance to get them. Then I'd be looking at Elias Lindholm, who's 65% owned, and Pavel Zacha, who's 76% owned. And in, even in your deeper leagues, Casey Mittelstadt's doing that thing where he gets traded to a new team and looks really good before fading into the darkness. So he's 18% owned and I believe has a couple of points since being traded to Boston, and I think is on power play one even. So, you know, I'd be targeting Boston as one of the four-game teams, but I will say there's a ton of good four-gamers next week if you have openings on the busy days. There's Nashville plays, and I know Ryan O'Reilly's available in some leagues. St. Louis, where you've got Bolduc and Nathan Walker actually has been hitting a ton of things, so if you're in a banger league. And then even, I mentioned Philly, you've got Tampa with Oliver Bjorkstrand. Lots and lots of options, but we figured we'd start this discussion, get a head start on any matchup maximizer planning, because I know a number of people are spending this entire week preparing for next week's playoff matchup, because this week doesn't matter. Hopefully you enjoyed that. Let us know if you have any other suggestions. I'm happy to hear them. But thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed our show, please consider joining the Keeping Carlson Patreon group at www.keepingcarlson.com/patron. Super supporters receive ad-free episodes, and you can interact with Brian, Elon, Shams, myself, the rest of the Short Shifts crew, and hundreds of other talented fan G managers on our active Discord server. Check out gamedaytweets.com to get all the best info from Twitter without having to deal with the rest of Twitter. It includes team-by-team and searchable tweets by player name. Visit that site and the other great sites we use to research our episodes with at Yahoo, Frozen Tools, and Natural Stat Trick. Our intro and outro music was created by Pat Roach. Until we see you next time, play smart, keep your shifts short.